May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. This morning's gospel reading is very similar to the one in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15 to 19, where Naaman was a Gentile and a commander in charge of the Syrian army. He had leprosy. He learned about a man named Elijah who could do healing. So Naaman went to Israel with a letter of introduction from his king, asking the king of Israel to heal him. The king of Israel was frustrated and tore his clothes because Syria and Israel were not on the best of terms. When Elijah heard that the king of Israel tore his clothes, he asked the king to have Naaman come see him. Naaman came to Elijah, and Elijah told him to go down to the river and wash 7 times. Naaman could not understand why the rivers of Samaria were just as good, if not better, he thought. He refused, but his servant said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it?" 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13. Naaman went down to the river and washed himself 7 times as he was told, and his rough flesh was restored like a newborn child. When Naaman went to Elijah, he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15. Naaman wanted to give Elijah some gifts, but Elijah refused. Naaman asked for and received 2 mule loads of dirt to take back to Syria so he could build an altar and worship the Lord. Elijah gave him the dirt and told him, "Go in peace," from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 19. The second story is about a leper taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Shortly after Jesus had called his first disciples, there was a man who had leprosy and came up to Jesus and fell at his feet. The leper did not keep his distance as the law required. He begged to be healed. Jesus touched the unclean man and healed him. For a good Jew to do that was a no-no. Then the man did as Jesus told him to do. According to the law of Moses, to go show himself to the priest and offer and with an offering for his cleansing. Jesus also told him not to tell anyone that it was clean. But as is usually the case, that's when people go and tell. Now we come to today's gospel reading. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and for his passion, the ultimate price for our salvation. There were 10 lepers in a colony on the border when Jesus stopped. They kept their distance in a loud voice, asked Jesus to have mercy on them. In other words, to heal them. They undoubtedly had heard about Jesus' healing in Galilee and now wanted to do the same for them. Jesus did not touch them as he did the previous leper who knelt at his feet and asked for healing. Jesus told them to show themselves to the priest as the Mosaic law required them to do. The 10 were cleansed on their way to the priest because they obeyed Jesus. Of the 10, only the Samaritan came back to Jesus, and he too fell at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. Luke wanted to be sure we know that the man was a Samaritan. Jesus told the man, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well," from Luke 7, chapter 17, verse 19. Here the man was more than physically healed. His soul was healed too. 9 lepers fell into thankless forgetfulness. The 9 were Jews, and they did not return to give glory to God. By this, Luke is telling us that Israel was hard of heart and utterly unthankful. The stranger, however, was a Samaritan, was of a foreign race brought from Assyria. He, after seeing that he was cleansed, returned to Jesus and with a loud voice gave glory to God. Luke shows us that the Samaritan was grateful, but the Jews, even when they benefited, were ungrateful. In the several stories of people with leprosy in the Bible, you may have noticed they always kept a distance from those who spoke, except the one I just mentioned who fell at Jesus' feet. Jewish law forbid them from getting close, and they were to stay that way until they were clean again, and a priest declared them to be clean. Naaman did not, because he was a Gentile, but the leper who fell at the feet of Jesus did. Now this may seem unusual because there were 10 lepers. Verses 11 to 14 in today's reading is a healing story where there is a cry for help and Jesus responds. The healing in this story happens in the act of obedience, whereas in Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16, the man who fell at Jesus' feet asking to be healed, his healing happened prior to his obedience in going to the priest. The second part of today's gospel is about salvation to a foreigner, the Samaritan. Of the 10 who were healed, only one was saved. Our gospel today anticipates what is going to happen in Acts when the blindness of Israel grows even more and the reception of the Gentiles to the gospel grows. Israel's special place with God had turned upon itself. Their duty became a privilege, and frequent favors had become commonplace. There are many reasons for that, and they are complex. We're not permitted to point the finger here as to why. It is like when a stranger who comes to a church, who will sing heartily the hymns that have long been left to the choir to sing, who expresses their gratitude for their blessings they had not noticed, who will listen to a sermon the congregation may have heard several times, who gets excited about the Bible, and who becomes actively involved with acts of service to which people send small donations. Does it have to be this way? Religion was invented by people so they could manipulate their God or deity. They would do this by offering sacrifices of some sort. They would offer up the temple prostitutes, sacrifice babies or adults to their various gods. They did this to verify if their religion was valid or not. Our God and Father does not need anything from us. After all, He made heaven and earth. He's got the whole world in His hands. We have nothing that God needs. God, however, wants us. The nature of the Trinity shows us that God is only God in His relationship to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He sent Jesus to live among us because God wants us in relationship. All He wants from us is our thanksgiving for the great gifts He has given us. Just prayers, praise, and thanksgiving. God is grace, and you already know that. It is undeserved love. We can't earn it. The Bible is filled with many places where God's grace abounds. When God freed the slaves in Egypt to go to the promised land, He sent judges and prophets who spoke the words God gave them to the people. By His grace, He sent Jesus, His only Son, to die for our sins and bring all those who believe in Him to His kingdom. I'd like you to turn to page 332 in your Book of Common Prayer to Psalm 50 and follow along as I read this psalm. I will take no bull calf out of your house, no he-goat out of your fold, for all the beasts of the forest are mine, and so are the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Are in my sight. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the whole world is mine and all that is therein. As I mentioned earlier, there is nothing we give God because He already has it all. When a person gets healed, that's a wonderful experience for them and for the loved ones too. But healing is not salvation. Only belief in Lord Jesus Christ will give salvation. A gospel reading shows that there were 10 lepers who were healed, and only one of them returned to give Jesus thanks. He knew Jesus was the holy man. God has never asked for us to do anything for him, but give him thanks and praise. The word well in Luke chapter 17, verse 19 means saved in Greek. The sole leper, the Samaritan, by his faith received God's most gracious gift, and Samaritan returned and gave praise and thanksgiving for his healing. God deserves our gratitude, and people should not be upset giving God 1 hour or so of praise and thanksgiving on a Sunday morning. Yet some people think they can just sit at home or on the golf course and think nothing of it. We come here on Sunday mornings to hear God's holy word, confess our sins, and here we are forgiven to receive grace and blessing in the Eucharist. Everything we have is a gift from our Father. And that is why giving thanks and showing gratitude is important. I have a book, When God Winks at You, by Squire Rushnell. That is about how God speaks directly to you and through the power of coincidence. The book lists many instances that people may miss being a gift from God or a small blessing. I'm happy to lend it to anyone who would like to read it. Amazon, I'm sure, still has copies, and the stories of the book are all true, too. Now, I'd like for you all to turn to page 25 of the Book of Common Prayer and pray with me the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen.